From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm will try to control her foul mouth when she plays Not My Job. But first, something to get off my chest, something that bothers me. You know, we radio people, we're not just faceless voices coming out of your car dashboard. We have feelings. We have dreams. My dream, for example, is to someday win a competitive eating contest.
Mine is to be adopted by Madonna.
And Rush Limbaugh's dream was to own an NFL team. Mm. And now it has been taken from him. Unjustly. So, in solidarity with Rush, and in reaction to all those players who said they would never play for the Rams if he were to buy the team, we say here now, none of us will play for the team if he doesn't. So there. We're with you, Rush. Anybody can play our games, though. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Michael Abraham in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Michael, what are you doing in Atlanta?
I'm a PhD student at Georgia Tech and the student director of the Georgia Tech Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, really? You're a scientist musician?
I am a scientist musician.
That's totally cool. I like that. You have the yin and the yang. That's great.
So it sounds sort of like military justice to me, but
it has its challenges, I'll tell you that much.
I'm sure. Welcome to our show, Michael. Let me introduce you to our panel. First, say hello to a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca, right there.
Hi, Michael.
Next, it's humorist and author, most recently of Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hey, Roy.
Hey, Michael.
And lastly, we're delighted to welcome to our panel this week a comedian and a contributor, the ethicist, in fact, for Oprah.com, Ms. Faith Saley.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Well, welcome to the show, Michael. You're going to start us off with Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, and you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Oh, I'm so ready.
All right. So are we. So is Carl. Here's your first quote. It's a series of teases from a United States senator.
I haven't made up my mind. I want to hear more. Mm. Let's see how the day goes.
Now, that senator has been tantalizing Democrat Max Baucus and others for weeks with her will she or won't she vote for health care. Well, this week she finally said yes, for now. Mm. Who?
I'm guessing that's the senator from Maine, Olympia Snow.
It is Olympia Snow. Absolutely. Does everybody remember that fall night about a year ago when thousands of people collected in Grant Park here in Chicago to celebrate the election of Olympia Snow as president of the United States? Well, the most powerful person in America decided to allow health care reform to go forward when she became the only Republican to vote for any form of the bill. The White House says that this single vote makes the bill, quote, bipartisan. Which is a little like saying you're a world traveler because you saw Slumdog Millionaire. Of course, there was a lot of horse trading. Getting this yes vote from the senator from Maine did not come cheap. For example, the national bird of the United States is now the lobster. Isn't it weird that this woman has so much power?
I think it's hot.
Really?
It reminds me of the end of Grease. Like, I see her, like, coming out now, like, in leather pants.
With the cigarette, like, yeah. Sandy?
Better shape up, because I need a plan.
She's singing it to Max Baucus. In my heart to sit on you.
You're the plan that I want.
The main equivalent of that, anyway.
Yes.
So that's what she said to Max Baucus. She said, tell me about it, stud.
Exactly.
And put out the cigarette?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that image is so incredibly disturbing.
It's better than when Barbara Mikulski does it.
That's true. Michael, here's your next quote.
The last time we saw 10,000, we were going the wrong way.
That comes from a brokerage president. He marveled this week as what hit 10,000 for the first time in more than a year.
The Dow.
Exactly right. Hey, all you frowny faces who are still moping because you lost your job and your house and any shred of dignity, everything's fine now because the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit 10,000. Everybody's all excited about it. Wall Street is poised to give out its biggest annual bonuses in history, and it looks like 9.8% of Americans took the year off work to celebrate. Now, economists say that the Dow is a leading indicator. The rest of the economy will follow within another year or so. It works this way. Say a hedge fund manager gets $1 million bonus. He buys a new house. So a broker buys his old house. And when the broker gets a new refrigerator for the new house, you get to live in the box.
Coincidentally, 10,000 is also the salary of the one job that was created this quarter.
There you are. Are people paying way too much? I mean, isn't it? Didn't we get into this mess because we paid too much attention to like Wall Street and the Dow, and then it all turned out to be nonsense? And
it's that or Balloon Boy, watching the Dow. Either one.
They're both eventually going to come down, and it's all going to be something of a letdown when they do.
Yeah. Oh my God! It's just the biggest letdown since Geraldo Rivera and Al Capone's vault.
What did you want to happen?
Yeah, that's I'm the only.
Do you want blood, though?
No, I didn't want blood. I wanted the door to open at the end and the kid to pop out and say, "Here I am." That's what I wanted.
That was fun.
That's what
said.
Everybody wanted. Everyone's lying when they're like, "Oh, I'm so glad he's not in there." No, we all wanted the kid to be in there and safe.
Didn't you also want Wolf Blitzer on the scene to breathe in the helium and report the story?
Yes, exactly.
That's what I wanted. That's a cherry on top. The situation room.
Back to you, Michael. Michael, here is your last quote.
Walking through a winter wonderland.
Is that Wolf Blitzer?
That was. No, that was not Wolf Blitzer. That was Carl's imitation of a major star doing his first ever Christmas album, which came out this week. Who?
Oh, I have no idea.
No idea? I think you get it when Carl does his imitation. One more time.
Walking through a winter wonderland.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, we got to give him a clue.
Do I get to hear that one more time? It sounds a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, Carl, can you sing Snowin' in the Wind?
It's not Bob Dylan.
It is Bob Dylan.
Go, Michael.
Who else would it be?
Wonderland.
So you never know what Bob Dylan is going to do next. He's going to make go electric. He might do a Victoria's Secret ad. He might replace his own voice with that of a rusty coffee grinder. But as we noted a while back in the show, this year he decided to release a Christmas record. It's called Christmas in the Heart. Well, it came out this week, and the reviews... Well, here's Jim DeRogatis of the Chicago Sun-Times. Quote, when the star stumbles through I'll Be Home for Christmas, he delivers the sentiment as a threat. Giving it, out of 4 stars, he gave it no stars. Now, the only redeeming thing about this record, apparently, is that all the proceeds go to charity. And ironically enough, the charity is intended to help the victims of this record. It's called the Make-A-Wish I Had Never Listened to Bob Dylan's Christmas Album Foundation. Carl, how did Michael do in our quiz?
He did fine.
Peter, he did very well. He had 3 correct answers, so Michael wins our prize.
Well done. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for playing.
Thank you, Peter.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo, in the constant battle to catch malefactors at airports, the Department of Homeland Security is considering deploying what advanced technology?
Well, I mean, clearly from the tone of the question, it's something that's not that advanced. So it's, but it can't be dogs because dogs are already there. So I think at this point I need a clue.
You need a clue. Yeah. Well, I mean... Well, you know, when the passenger traffic is down at the security station, the TSA guys can just relax by playing a little Mario Kart.
Oh, wait, Mario Kart?
Yes.
Is that like a video game?
It is.
Like Super Mario Brothers?
It is.
Video games. They're using video games. They're using joysticks on people.
Ooh. Well, I'm pressing the joystick and he's not moving. No, I'll give it to you. They're using a video game console. They're using the Wii specifically. They're using the Wii Fit. Now, that is the electronic balance board that you hook up to your Wii video game console to do, quote, exercises, unquote. The theory is, and I stress this is the truth, that terrorists are, quite literally, shifty. That is, they shift their weight from side to side, presumably while also saying things like, death to America, while twirling their mustaches. Behavioral experts say that rapid weight shifting from side to side indicates either a guilty conscience or a need to use the little hijacker's room.
I would think a terrorist would now start to work out on one of those Wii boards and figure out.
Exactly.
Do a little Pilates.
Get some core work.
But wait, is this a form of torture, Wii boarding?
Thank you, everybody. Thanks so much. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Ellen from New York.
Hey, Ellen. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, that'll be really fun. What do you do there in New York?
I'm a lawyer.
Oh.
I'm a nice lawyer.
Oh, okay.
I'm a good lawyer.
Well, welcome to the show, Ellen. It's great to have you.
Thanks.
You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Ellen's topic?
The Brady Bunch to the rescue.
Okay.
Everybody needs somebody sometime, and in times of need, we've all asked, can a member of TV's all-time most popular family help us now? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about cast members from the Brady Bunch offering a helping hand. Choose the real story, you'll win. Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yep.
First, let's hear from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Let's say you're not elderly. Let's say post-mature.
Uh-huh.
When you were coming along, there weren't all these newfangled thingamajigs of today. Computers and tweetering and web face. I don't know what all. Yeah. When you ask your grandchildren a simple question as to what button to mash or what is HTTP, they get exasperated with you. If only you could ask someone who knows exactly how you feel. Your mom? No. How about a TV mom? The best TV mom anybody ever had. Do you think Carol Brady would roll her eyes at you? Of course, Carol herself is not available, except in reruns that don't have those thingamajigs in them. But now, according to this week's New York Times, you can have the next best thing. The Flow Club. A really supportive, warm-hearted hotline of tech stuff geared to people who aren't wet behind the ears. The Flow in Flow Club is F-L-O, capital H. So, it was founded by Florence Henderson. Yes! They say she has learned all this computer stuff herself. Her grandchildren must be sweet to her.
Florence Henderson, mom from the Brady Bunch, offering you tech support for your computers. Your next story of a Brady giving back comes from Faith Saley.
Not to be outdone by One Day at a Time stars Mackenzie Phillips and Valerie Bertinelli as they make the talk show rounds with confessions of abuse and sensible weight loss, Maureen McCormick, better known as Marcia Brady, is making headlines with her own hopeful message. McCormick's memoirs, entitled Here's the Story, Surviving Marcia Brady, came out last year. In it, McCormick chronicles how she sold her body for cocaine until she found God. Now she's created a foundation called the Marcia Brady Oh My Nose Fund, dedicated to helping cocaine addicts rebuild their lives and their nasal cartilage. McCormick, who had plastic surgery in the 80s to repair her damaged septum, says, I don't think Americans understand how devastating cocaine really is. I came much closer to destroying Marcia's nose than Peter's football ever did. McCormick credits Jesus with the inspiration for, oh, my nose. She says, the Bible tells us, if you receive a blow, offer your other cheek. We say, if you do blow, we'll offer you another nose.
Oh, God.
My nose, my nose, my nose. says the former Marsha Brady. Your last story of help coming in the form of a Brady is from Morocco.
Is your vision cloudy, in need of eye surgery to clean things up? It's Alice the housekeeper to the rescue. Brady Bunch actress, activist, and ophthalmologist Ann B. Davis is sick of the healthcare stalemate and going door to door in Oakland performing at-home cataract surgery free of charge. The program even has a jingle. She's got Ann B. Davis eyes. It may sound cute, but ministering to the needy is a return to Davis's roots. Quote, who do you think reattached Tiger the dog's retina in season 3?
All right, then. You can get help, depending on your needs, from one of these members of the Brady Bunch cast. Is it from Roy Blunt Jr., Florence Henderson, former Carol Brady, the mom, offering you tech support when you don't know what button to mash in your computer? Is it from Faith Saley, the former Marsha Brady, helping people repair their noses after cocaine addiction? Or from Mo Rocca, Ann B. Davis, the former Alice, the housekeeper, going around and performing in-home eye surgery because she cares? Which of these is the real story of a Brady in the news?
Well, I grew up watching the Brady Bunch, and I actually think it's probably Florence Henderson.
You think it's Florence Henderson, Roy's story?
Yeah.
Of tech support?
Yep.
All right. Well, we actually spoke to someone behind this noble venture to bring you the correct answer.
Florence Henderson has started the Flow Club to assist older adults with their computing needs. It's like roadside assistance, but for your computer.
That was Max Drucker. He's the co-founder with, of course, Ms. Florence Henderson of the Flow Club. Technical support from Mrs. Brady. Congratulations, you got it right. You earned a point for Roy Blunt Jr., and you have won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Well done.
Thanks. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one.
And now the game where we ask people known for doing one thing about something else entirely. Speaking of doing one thing, most of us, if we're lucky, get known for doing one thing particularly well. Comedian Susie Essman is known for cursing at Larry David. Susie plays the profane Susie Green on the HBO show Curb Your Enthusiasm. She now has a new book out, the title starts with the words, "What Would Susie Say?" It ends with a subtitle that, of course, we cannot say on the radio. Susie Essman, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
How are you? So
I'm
good to have you.
Very good.
So listen, for those who don't know, Curb Your Enthusiasm, of course, is this hit show. It's on HBO. It purports to be the daily doings of the real Larry David.
Yes, plays, but it's not.
It's not
the real Larry David.
It's not the real Larry David.
None of us are who we seem to be.
And you play a character named Susie, but you are not yourself. You are somebody else.
Correct.
That's so confusing to me.
Ted Danson really plays Ted Danson, but it's not really Ted Danson playing Ted Danson. Yeah, it's the conceit of the show.
You play the wife of Larry's best friend, played by Jeff Garland, who joined us a while ago on this show. And your role in the show, I don't want to reduce it to this, but you do this a lot. You yell at Larry David.
I would say I have a short fuse.
You do.
But I'm always provoked.
Yes.
It's not coming out of nowhere. You know, people think the character's just this crazy, screaming woman, and there's always a reason why she's angry.
So she's a sane, screaming woman.
Exactly, Peter.
I can hear it building now.
How did you get this role? Were you chewing somebody out and somebody said, hey?
No, Larry just called me and offered it to me because he knew I had a way with language.
I see. Well, had this been what you were known for in the New York
Times?
No,
not circles? Really, no.
No.
No, it is what I'm known for now in this very bizarre kind of... My life has become strange. That people just walk up to me in the street and beg me to yell and scream and curse at them.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And what do? You accommodate this? Do you accept this as the price of your fame?
No.
You don't do it?
No, because, you know, I get paid a lot of money to yell and scream and curse. They're not getting it for free.
We heard you say once that people actually want to get you on the phone yelling and screaming at somebody else.
Yes, I've done that for charity.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So what happens? I make a donation, and what do you do for me?
And then I will, you know, leave an answering machine message, for example, to somebody that you want me to yell and scream at.
Oh, wow.
Gosh. It's a beautiful thing that I could raise money for needy causes by cursing.
Carl should try it.
Yes,
I know, Carl. I don't think Carl can do it. I don't think you've got that in you.
How much do you get paid for
that? Oh, maybe he does. Talk us through this. You say it takes talent. Break it down for us. How do you work up that big head of steam and come up with just the right mean thing
to say?
Well,
it depends. You know, I mean, I have to work my anger up usually because I'm not generally an angry person. I'll think of something like, you know, I have teenagers, so I think about stuff that they do.
Really?
They're basically mentally ill people with car keys.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because as one of the things you read about in your delightful new book is you acquired both a husband and a complete family instantly.
Yeah, it's like a sitcom waiting to happen that hasn't.
It hasn't happened.
No.
So you got married, and your husband had children from a prior marriage, and they were relatively advanced. They were like in their teenage years. So how did
we have four teenagers.
Oh, my God. So how do you go from being a single woman about town in New York City, comedian, nightclub, habitué, to a suburban mom?
Well, here's what happens when you have teenagers. You think you're hip, you think you're cool, and then one day you realize that you're just an idiot. You know, like they roll their eyes at me.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. And I was queen of the eye rollers. I was so good at it, you could actually hear my eyes rolling. And now I'm getting rolled at. You know, the irony.
Can you have them watch an episode or two of Curb, and then they'd be like, okay, Mom, whatever you say.
No, they don't live in fear. I'm nothing to them.
Really?
But yeah. I mean, I'm their mother, and they love me. And you know. But, I mean, in terms of, like, Susie Green kind of fear, they could care less.
Really?
You know, when I first met them, you know what I did? I bought their love.
You bought their love.
Yeah, they were like Russian mail order brides. It was exponential. The more I spent, the more they loved me.
Wow.
Yeah, it worked.
Do they get burned out? You need to buy them more and more expensive gifts?
Jimmy, my husband, says I've created monsters. They didn't know what cashmere was before they met me.
Oh, my God. You were a single woman living in New York, living the life of the successful actress and comic, hanging out. And is it possible to continue being a comedian when the source of your material has changed so much?
Yeah, one of the reasons why I got married and now I have all these kids is so I have a new source of material.
Yeah. And how's that work out for you?
Getting very stale. You know, I dated this guy. Big deal. It was the same guy over and over again. Now I got this whole thing. I got teenagers. It's endless.
But they must be aware of that. I mean, they must know that anything they do
as long as I keep buying, they don't care.
Really?
Yeah. You know, how do they expect me to pay for all that stuff? Here's the thing about teenagers. Their cerebral frontal cortex is not fully formed till they're 25.
I've heard that.
So you have to assume that they're mentally impaired, that you're dealing with mentally ill people. And that's why they make really bad decisions, and they're susceptible to peer pressure, and they think they know everything. So it's as though until they're 25, you're living in an insane asylum. I'm not saying that glibly.
25, you said? Really?
Yeah, 25. Well, maybe for men, it's 32.
It couldn't be. Well, Susie Essman, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You're a sanctified, beatified, and a really nice guy.
Now, no one has ever heard any of your material or your performances would ever say, that's Susie Essman. What a saint. We're going to ask you three questions about saints, genuine saints of the Apostolic Catholic Church. Two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. Carl, who is Susie Essman playing for?
Susie is playing for Wes Burns of Jetorkley, Illinois.
Now, they know I'm Jewish, right?
They do.
Okay.
Their expectations are lower.
And if she doesn't get two right, she'll leave the message on the answering machine.
Thank you, Bo, for volunteering that.
Okay, here's your first saint.
Mo is very close with my dog, by the way.
I've been dog walking with Susie. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
You dog walk with Susie Essman?
Yes.
Yeah, he even rented a dog so that he would feel, you know.
I didn't. I can't believe you told people that. I didn't have a dog, and I wanted to go dog walking with her, and I rented a dog, and the only dog that was available for rental was named Nixon, which put her over
funny?
The edge.
How do you rent a dog?
Everyone's doing it. I mean, no. There's a,
no, nobody is renting dogs.
I have.
People do it because they want it, you know, canine companionship,
right.
And they don't want a dog. It's a lot of responsibility. So they rent it for the weekend.
But that's got to be a jaded dog. I mean, he's known so many people.
He has trust issues. It's true. But it's great. And then you just, you know, you just pick it up in the day and then go for the walk with somebody like Susie Essman and then drop the dog
off.
Was
it that you just wanted to hang with Susie Essman?
Yeah. I thought it would be fun.
We had a great time.
Sounds like you did. That's wonderful.
There's so much you don't know about us, Peter.
I clearly not. All right, here is your first saint. It's Saint Simeon Stylite. He was one of the most popular and famous saints of the early Catholic Church. He brought pilgrims from all over the world to visit him in 5th century Syria. What did he do to cause such devotion? A, he ate nothing but tree bark and yet lived. B, he stood on a pillar outside for 37 years. Or C, he could command worms to appear on the surface of the earth whenever he so desired.
I would say C.
You're going for C. He could make worms come to the surface.
Yeah, you know, worms actually serve a purpose in this world.
What is that purpose?
Bait.
Well, there's yeah, exactly.
They bring tequila.
Well, actually, the second one, it was correct. He stood on a pillar for 37 years. His name, in fact, Stylite, refers to the pillar he stood on. He was the most famous ascetic of those times.
Did he ever have to go to the bathroom? He just stood on the pillar?
The records are unclear, but he stayed on that pillar for 37 years.
You know what? That's not true.
I thought that was... I thought that that was St. David Blaine.
Yeah. No. Simeon Stylite, people would come from all over to talk to him and gain his wisdom, which is why he climbed up in the pillar in the first place, so that people would stop bothering him.
They didn't have cable in those days.
It's true. So it's like, what do you want to do tonight? Hey, you want to look at the guy standing in the pillar? That sounds like fun. Okay, you've got two more questions. Your next saint is St. Joseph of Cupertino. He was a Franciscan monk who lived in the 17th century in Italy. He became famous, too famous in the eyes of the church, because he could do what? Was it A, fly, B, hold his breath for a whole day, or C, talk in the voice of Noah, King David, and 100 other biblical characters?
He was Rich Little.
He was the Rich Little of his time.
I would say fly.
You're right, fly. He was known as the flying monk. Huh. And apparently he could launch himself into the air in religious ecstasy. The church eventually told him to quit it. St. Joseph was apparently not very bright, but he did menial tasks around the monastery, and he could fly.
All right, well.
But it made him what do we mean? Were there tabloids and entertainment
shows? No, again, people would come from all over to see him fly.
Okay. They had nothing exciting to do in those days.
Right, pretty much.
Saints were like carnies.
They really were. Come on in, see the flying monk. See him fly about the abbey. Yep, pretty much. All right, this is very exciting because if you get this last question right, you will win our game. Your last saint is Saint Clare of Assisi. She was a famous medieval nun. She is known today for her chastity and good works and her vow of poverty. But she has a particular role in today's church. What is it and why did she get it? A, because of her famously rapid walks around the monastery. She is the patron saint of NASCAR and other automobile races. B, because of regular visions she had on the wall of her room, she is the patron saint of television. Or C, as she regularly spoke in tongues, she is the patron saint of professional translators.
Oh, my goodness.
I would say B.
B, TV?
Yeah.
You're right. Little did you know,
what
being
a good
on television,
Catholic Jew you are.
That you had a patron saint.
My husband's Catholic.
According to legend, when St. Clare was unable to go to Mass, she was able to see the service on the wall of her room.
Huh.
So Pope Pius XII made her the patron saint of TV in 1958.
Is she network or cable, do you think, at this point?
She must have been so excited. She, unlike everybody else in the Middle Ages, had something to watch. Carl, how did Susie Essman do in our quiz?
Susie had two correct answers, Peter, so she wins for Wes Burns. Congratulations,
well
Susie.
Done, Susie.
Wow. I'm so excited.
Susie Essman plays Susie Green on HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm. Her new book is called What Would Susie Say? Susie Essman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
It was great to have you. Good luck with the book.
Thanks.
In just a minute, Carl right here will reveal that he's a member of the notorious Gambino organized rhyme family in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roy, that venerable source of entertainment for men, Playboy magazine, is doing something it's never done before. It's putting who on its cover?
I don't think she knew what she was doing.
Really?
I've known her for years. And she wouldn't do that. But they've got someone who looks a lot like Marge Simpson.
It's true. It's Marge Simpson from The Simpsons, the first ever cartoon character. The day you have longed for is here. Playboy magazine convinced Marge Simpson to pose for a pictorial. The cartoon mom slash temptress will be featured in November's issue. Playboy describes it as very, very racy with implied nudity. Simpson is the first cartoon character to be featured in the magazine. Reaction has been mixed. One reader shook his head and said, "No way, those are real."
Are they showing every? What are they showing?
No. She's not. It's not. Shall we say the full Monty?
Strategic.
It's very alluring.
Yeah. On the picture of her on the cover, she's sort of seated like this, and then the Playboy icon image is like over her lady parts.
Okay,
lady.
I'm not sure she has
lady parts.
Mo, after exposing retailers selling sexy Halloween costumes for kids last year, this year the consumerist blog has picked up on another similar disturbing trend. It seems that more than one store is now selling sexy costumes for whom?
I mean, it's going to have to be very different than the kids, because that was the premise of the question. For seniors, maybe.
No.
Is it for seniors?
Think Nixon.
For ex-presidents.
No.
For,
not that
the
Nixon.
The kind you rent.
Oh, for dogs.
For dogs.
For dogs.
Yes, yeah. For dogs. Sexy costumes for dogs. Dogs do not need much to feel sexy. At least, that's what they're telling your leg. But they're saying, "You're so hot." But the internet wants to know, might your labradoodle be interested in a naughty French maid costume? How about a naughty obedience school girl costume? You really must see these sexy dog costumes to believe them. But before you Google the images, let us warn you that afterwards, you cannot unsee or unbelieve them. And to pet owners who are considering purchasing a sexy dog costume this year, no matter what costume little Fluffy will end up wearing, you will be going as a horrible person.
Well, are they cute costumes or are they kinky? I mean,
well, they're sort of modeled on the kinky costumes that adults wear. Your sexy maid, your sexy cop, your sexy this, your sexy that, except they're scaled sexy for the dog.
So many women dress up as sexy cats for Halloween anyway.
Right. It seems kind of fair.
What would they do to, how would a sexy cat costume look like on a cat?
Looks better on Michelle.
A cat as a cat woman.
You know, this is just me, but I don't find cats or dogs particularly sexy because they belong to another species.
I know. I'm old fashioned. I find cats sexier when they wear more clothing and leaves more to the imagination.
Yes. These cats these days, they're walking around naked.
Nothing.
Good Lord. Roy. Zookeepers at the Maryland Zoo in Gaza City had to think fast when one of their most popular animals, the zebra, died earlier this year. Their solution was what?
Well, paint a horse.
Exactly. Yeah. Although
it's a donkey.
They painted a donkey fake. That's right. A new zebra costs around $40,000. A white donkey, tin of black kiwi shoe polish, about $100. Zookeepers are quite pleased. They say the children who visit the zoo are none the wiser. Though this cost-cutting move has been successful, not every trick has worked in the past. People are still upset about the time the zoo's new camel got into an argument with itself and ran off in two different directions. Oh. And the new gorilla turned out to be just Robin Williams with his shirt off.
Oh. Do you know that no two zebras have the same stripes?
I've heard about that.
Mm. They're like fingerprints.
It's snowflakes.
Can I just say one other thing?
You may.
That tigers don't just have striped fur, they have striped skin underneath.
Ooh, good to know.
How'd you learn that?
Because I love animal facts. And a beaver can hold its breath for 45 minutes. And starfish have no brains.
A hippopotamus can run 35 miles per hour underwater.
The longest recorded flight of a chicken is 13 seconds.
Uncle.
Fish never sleep.
Shoulders. I got chains around my feet. I got stripes around my shoulders, and then chains.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois, and our upcoming shows November 5th and 6th in Pasadena, California. You can also check out our brand new blog, where you can enter our new Newsmaker Pumpkin Carving Contest. You could win Carl's voice in your home answering machine, but it is no fair sending in a picture of a plain pumpkin and saying you made John Boehner. Okay? Don't. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Scott DeNellen from Clarksville, Tennessee.
Hey, Clarksville, Tennessee. I've heard of Clarksville. Is that the Clarksville in the song by the Monkees?
Well, we say it is.
There you are. You claim that. Well, welcome to the show, Scott. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks. The last word or phrase will be missing from each. Your job, fill in that last word or phrase correctly. And two of the limericks, do that. You will be a winner. Ready to go?
I am.
Here's your first limerick.
They had mothers, I often repeat, but my friends kicked me with their 8 feet. No bugs in their diet. I say they should try it. I'm a spider who does not eat
meat.
Right.
Everybody loves spiders, right? Or we would, if it weren't for their habit of trapping their prey while alive and then sucking their juices out. Finally, though, here's a spider you can cuddle. The Bagheera Kiplingi spider, found in Central America and Mexico, is the first known vegetarian spider. Saw one too many web videos from PETA. So now it battles ants for leafy greens and runs off in private to eat them. Scientists first became aware of the vegetarian spider when it showed up wearing hemp clothing at last year's Burning Man Festival.
Do not date a vegetarian spider. They're so preachy.
Oh, God, yes. Here is your next limerick.
Sir Berners-Lee's wearing a black sash. My pinkies are sick of the slack bash. My time flits like smoke with that vain double stroke. Sorry, HTTP needs the...
Well, sounds like backslash.
It is. Very good. Sir Tim Berners-Lee is one of the inventors of the Internet, and this week he admitted that those two little backslashes in a web address don't actually do anything. They're basically for show. They're like white wall tires or male nipples. Mr. Berners-Lee says that out of all things related to his invention, the World Wide Web, the slashers are the one thing he regrets about the Internet. Nigerian dictators, that's cool.
Sorry.
He doesn't, like, he has no problem with all the cat videos, for example. That's fine by him. Okay. Here is your last limerick.
This land to some brand every morn wakes, but fake cereal, oh, how my scorn quakes. With no Kellogg's logo, your bowl is a no-go. With lasers, I'm marking our...
Well, that has to be cornflakes.
It does, and it is cornflakes. Very good. Thanks to the Kellogg's Corporation, cornflake purists will soon be able to tell a genuine Kellogg's cornflake from a cheap knockoff in their breakfast bowl. They're branding each and every flake with the company logo using laser beams. So if you're unsure whether the flakes that came in your clearly marked Kellogg's cornflakes box are authentic, worry no more. If you're sitting at the breakfast table terrified that somebody might have slipped you knockoff cornflakes, lasers can't help you.
Is it like those little candy hearts where half of them, just half of the word is on there?
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to read that thing and figure it out. Somebody gave it to you. It meant something to her, but all it says is pray.
Drives you crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This person says, I love, but what? What does that mean? Carl, how did Scott do in our quiz?
Scott had three correct answers, Peter. So, Scott, I'll be doing the message on your home answering.
Well done. Well done. Congratulations, Scott, and thanks for playing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Roy Blunt Jr. has the lead, Peter, with 3 points. Faith Saley and Mo Rocca are tied for second. Each has 2.
I see. Well, we have flipped a coin, and Mo has elected to go second. So, Faith, you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. The Social Security Administration announced that retirees will not get a blank in 2010.
COLA.
Right, cost of living increase. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a new law that will protect celebrities from being harassed by blank.
His wife on a cell phone. No, the paparazzi.
Paparazzi, right. On Thursday, President Obama signed a bill that triples non-military aid to blank.
Afghanistan.
No, Pakistan. A 6-year-old Colorado boy who was feared to have been inside a runaway blank was found safe at home.
Oh, balloon.
Yes. The Alabama Democratic Party's choice to sit on an interim party panel was disqualified when they found out that he was blank.
Dressing his dog in sexy costumes.
No debt. Oh. According to a government watchdog report, the federal stimulus saved or created 30,000 blank.
Jobs.
Right. Paul Anka was recognized as the co-author of the new and final single from blank.
Michael Jackson.
Right. A young man in Germany emerged mostly unharmed after blanking a moving train.
Mooning.
Yes! Very good.
That was a great choice.
Danke.
Wow. After getting thrown off the train at the station for not having a ticket, this 22-year-old did what any of us would do. He dropped his trousers and pressed his naked buttocks up to the train window. Then the train began to move. His pants down at his ankles got caught on the wheels, and he got his wish, a free ride. About 200 yards down the platform. He only suffered some cuts and bruises. A police spokesman said, quote, he was full of remorse when I talked to him, and he advised others not to try the same thing. Carl, how did Faith Saley do in our quiz?
Faith had a great round, Peter. 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 14 points, and Faith has the lead.
Well done, Faith. Well
done. For now. Thank you.
All right. Mo, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Last weekend, President Obama promised gay and lesbian groups that he would end the military's blank policy.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Right, because President Hamid Karzai's victory has been questioned, the ambassador for blank said a runoff election is likely.
Afghanistan.
Right. Scientists warned Thursday that in 20 years, the ice cap will disappear during summer in the blank.
Arctic.
Yes. Maria Shriver apologized for breaking California state law against using a blank while driving.
Cell phone.
Right. One man was injured at the opening of a pitch black art exhibit in London when he blanked.
When he walked into a piece of art.
When he walked into the wall. Walked into the wall. Close enough, I think. After having a bad reaction to medicine, Supreme Court Justice Blank was hospitalized overnight.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right. Because of a faulty switch, U.S. automaker Blank recalled 4.5 million cars.
Well, I believe that it's Ford.
It is Ford. An Air Canada jet made an unscheduled landing after the pilot was informed that Blank.
The Air Canada person made an emergency landing when the pilot...
Let me interrupt for a second. Faith, you've never been here before. This might go on for a while.
Sorry. No.
Go ahead.
He was informed that Newfoundland is on a weird half-hour time frame.
No.
I don't know.
He was informed that a passenger had stolen some beer. That's why he decided to make an emergency landing. Three dudes boarded a plane bound for Alberta with one goal, get drunk on the cheap. The good news is they succeeded, but they were caught flushing their empties down the plane's toilets, and flight attendants noticed, and the plane was forced to make an emergency landing. The pilot is being hailed as being to beer what Captain Sully Sullenberger was to people. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had 7 correct answers for 14 more points.
This.
He now has 16 points, and Mo has taken the lead.
Well done. All right, so how many then does Roy need to take over the lead and win the game?
7 correct answers.
7 correct answers. Here we go, Roy.
All right.
Fill in the blank. The federal Paysar worked to force AIG to trim the $198 million in blanks promised to its employees.
Bonuses.
Right. The chairman of the Nobel Committee defended the group's decision to award their Peace Prize to blank.
Barack Obama.
Yes. On Thursday, President Obama made his first trip to blank as president.
New Orleans.
Right. The makers of Fisher-Price toys agreed to pay a settlement of $50 million over high levels of blank in their toys.
Hilarity.
No. Lead. The Hanford Nuclear Reservation in Washington State has deployed a helicopter to seek out and eliminate blank in the area.
Marijuana?
No. Radioactive rabbit poop.
Oh.
Experts believe that a portrait discovered in Canada could be the work of blank.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Right. In an interview with Newsweek, Maurice Sendak said that parents worried about whether the movie version of blank is too scary can, quote, go to hell.
Oh, the new Where the Wild Things Are.
Right. Well. The favorite to win a beauty contest in Hungary strictly for women with plastic surgery was forced to withdraw this week after she injured herself on stage with blank.
Strictly for women with plastic surgery?
Yes.
She
was injured by blank.
She ran into one of her breasts.
That's exactly what happened, more or less. She was injured by her own plastic surgery. 23-year-old Alexandra Horvath had everything a Miss Plastic contestant needed: sexy high heels, stylish hair extensions, and gigantic breast implants. But when taken all together, all that proved to be her undoing. Ms. Horvath's sexy walk down the catwalk went wrong when the fake hair got in her face. She struggled to stay upright in the stilettos, but all this movement resulted in a shifting of her upper continental shelf, which caused a seismic tremor that brought the young Magyar down. She ended up twisting the only remaining human part of her body, a muscle in her ankle.
Oh.
Carl, did Roy do well enough to win?
He needed 7 to win, but Roy had just 6 correct answers. So with 16 points,
oh my God,
is this week's champion.
Well done, Mo. Tell us how it's done. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that we know Dylan's Christmas album is a bust, what will the must-have gift be this holiday season? But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Mini, featuring the 37-mile-per-gallon Mini Cooper with go-kart handling. Learn more at miniusa.com/info. The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist on newsstands and bookstores and at economist.com. And CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Ashley Rayfeld. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Mohammed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Get Welchover, and Emily Ecton. The technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, since we're not going to be buying Dylan's Christmas album, what will be the big gift this holiday season? Roy Blunt Jr.
You know that Billy Bass fish that you hang on the wall?
Yeah, talks.
This will be a fruitcake that sings Masters of Deception.
Faith Saley.
This Christmas, every kid wants the make-your-own hot air balloon get on CNN kit.
And Mo Rocca.
Toby Keith's Kwanzaa album.
Well, if any of that ends up in anybody's stocking panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Mo Rocca, Roy Blunt Jr., and Faith Saley. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week at Carnegie Hall. This is NPR, National Public Radio.